Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good Monday to this point. Good start to the week. After a fourth weekend, hopefully you had a good time there and were safe during the fourth. We've got a lot of things to get into with Vince Ferrara in just a moment, at Vince Sports on Twitter, and he's with the Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville. Chris Domino in the final hour talking all things Atlanta and especially the Braves. Nick Markakis has opted out of this upcoming 2020 MLB season. David Price has opted out with the Dodgers. Ian Desmond has opted out. Wellington Castillo has opted out, and others. Felix Hernandez has opted out, and others are on the fence on whether they will go or not. And now, I guess the MLS MVP last year has opted out for Los Angeles, and we know the story around Nashville SC, that five have tested positive. They're expected to start up on Wednesday down in Orlando, and who knows if that's going to happen. And they will start off with Chicago on Wednesday. Maybe it happens on Wednesday, maybe it doesn't. But it's pretty interesting as these other sports are trying to get cranked up. I saw where the NBA continues to have positive tests, and they're shutting down, you know, facilities and their camps because of that. I saw the Kings just shut things down. And you do wonder, you know, what NBA players are going to opt out. Some have already. What others will opt out? What will happen right on the NHL side of things? Will indeed some players, we will find out here soon who will opt out on their end. So still a lot of uncertainty surrounding the return to play for all these sports, as this could be the month where we actually have some live sports get back to action, or at least close to it, probably late July, late this month, or early August. We check in with Vince. He is on the line. Vince, how you doing?
What's up, guys? Yeah, normally you say you go east. You're going farther east and way south down down in Tampa, but returning back to Tennessee tomorrow. So hope you guys are well.
So how has your trip been back home in Tampa?
You know, it's been good. It has not been as eventful and maybe as fun as it normally is. It's been amazing to see and spend so much time with my family, obviously get mom's home-cooked meals and care and everything. But, you know, just from a COVID-19 standpoint, we've just been staying in our tight circle of family. And as you guys have heard, Florida is one of those hot spots right now. I mean, just constantly raising the bar, 10,000 cases in a day, 11,000 cases in a day, just insane. And so just to be safe, we've stayed in our little circle and, no friend visits or going out to the beach or any of that kind of stuff that I would normally do. Not sure if I mentioned this to you guys last week or not, but I even took a COVID test before I left Knoxville just to make sure that I wasn't an asymptomatic carrier, because my mom's at higher risk for it, and my brother-in-law is as well. So I, checked out negative, which is good, and then came down and just been kind of staying away from the craziness for the most part. So it's been different. It's been weird, and that's obviously on everybody's mind. So It's been good, but not, you know, like with everything, nothing is like we're used to having it be right now.
What was the test like?
The what? I'm sorry?
The test. How was the test?
It was very simple. I mean, I called, explained, you know, that I was going out of town, wanted to make sure, you know, that I wasn't an asymptomatic carrier, my mom, things like that. And they made me an appointment the same day and then pulled up to the building. They said drive around to the tent, pulled up next to the tent. They gave me a little bit of paperwork, took a couple minutes, and then right there, you know, as I'm sitting in my car parked, they gave me the swab thing. They said, this is going to feel like we're shoving this back into your brain. And it did feel that way. I mean, it was a long, you know, swab. But it took 5 seconds, to 7 seconds, and then it was over with. And so it wasn't a big deal, you know, 2 to 4 days afterwards to get the results. And as soon as I knew I was clear, you know, I headed down. So it's not that big a deal. And they mentioned to me as well that a lot of people that are not getting tested. So that's one thing that's very different here in Florida is the fact there are lines and they're so backed up and people want to get tested because of all the outbreaks. And, you know, the people aren't getting tested because they don't have symptoms. And that certainly does not mean that you don't have it and you're not carrying it. So it's just, there's no 100% truth in everything. Everybody's got a spin. Everybody's doubting this and this and this, but I mean, it's out there and it, you know, I hope more people take it seriously than some seem to be doing.
They have a mandated mask law now, don't they? Don't they have that mandated mask in Florida?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, most people adhere to it. Other people, you know, cut corners on that kind of stuff. And so, you know, there's still big public places, beaches and stuff like that, that are, there's still large gatherings of people. And that's as always with everywhere, it's a big issue. People are split on the validity of that. So it causes strain, but no, it is. And I know in Knox County, on the 3rd, they started back with the mandatory mask there also. So there it's more precaution to keep it from spreading. And, you know, I'm fine with it sucking it up right now if it means we have football. And that's what I don't understand is people that love sports and want to get back to a normal life, just deal with it right now. Doubt it, whatever you want. Suck it up, and then maybe we can have some football. We're in this dangerous territory. You mentioned how critical a month July was. We're getting into the danger territory when we're talking about much bigger things in sports going away from us that give us, you know, pleasure and our mental health contributing to it. And it's just, we're getting closer and closer to screwing that up. So, I mean, that's just my take. Everybody looks at it differently.
Well, we're going to get into this college football season. But first, I wanted to ask you, Texas A&M got popped with some recruiting violations. And when this took place, Jay Graham was on that staff. What did you make of that story coming out about Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies?
Well, it was surprising. I don't know of anyone that – even, you know, many of the longtime reporters that had a heads up that that was going down, that there was that investigation that would, you know, be, it would connect Jay Graham into it. It's obviously not a great look, but the University of Tennessee quickly issued a statement saying that they were aware of it and felt comfortable with it moving forward. His restrictions in terms of recruiting, phone calls, visits, things like that. It's a 6-month period, so they can still get to the finish line in recruiting and have him be there to help them close. And it's not like he completely goes away or he's not going to be able to coach or any of that kind of stuff. It was interesting they phrased it as a show cause. Normally when you hear the term show cause, that means someone that is prevented from coaching unless
right.
they have all of the blessing of the schools. But I think it's something that they can overcome. Other schools are going to use it to negatively recruit Tennessee. It may not be that they may not be very successful, but they're going to try. And, you know, they had a lot of their work has obviously been done. So now the question is can Tennessee maintain? And those that had the strong relationships with Jay Graham in recruiting is that going to supersede anyone else trying to say, hey, look, they cheated Tennessee, blah, blah, blah. Well, everything that everybody will, all the stones that everyone will throw from their own glass houses. So, you know, that they should be able to overcome. I think it's a little stiffer. It's much stiffer for A&M because Jimbo Fisher, that's going to take him through the early signing period where he's not going to be able to do those in-home visits. And you need those oftentimes to be able to close on kids that are you're battling other big-time schools for. So it's a stiff penalty for A&M. I think it's something they can overcome with other coaches doing some of those things that Graham is restricted from doing at Tennessee.
Well, the Ivy League, all signs are pointing toward them playing their college football season in the spring. And Gil Brandt tweeted out earlier today that he believes that all these major conferences will follow suit, that this college football season isn't going to happen this fall. I don't know if I believe that or not. Where are you on – we were talking about this earlier in the show. I saw something last week or within the last couple of weeks where a college football season in the city the college football season in Tuscaloosa, which is a market you've worked in, especially mm-hmm. under these times, you've been away for a while. They've done a whole lot of winning since you've mm-hmm. been gone. It is worth $200 million to the city of Tuscaloosa, to their economy, for a college football season. And so that just tells you how – just think about the city of Tuscaloosa. I mean, there's no other – there's nothing else that you could come up with that you could recoup $200 million for the city of Tuscaloosa, right? There's nothing. And so that is a huge, huge economic boost for that city that they get every single year. And I worry about, you know, if indeed that's true. And I know coaches have put out there that maybe we need to consider everything, every option. They've kind of hinted that maybe it could get moved to the spring. I still don't believe that because I fear – what would the fallout would be if a lot of these programs and budgets and programs, I don't know how they recover. I don't know if they could recover from no college football season. So as we sit here today, how do you think this upcoming college football season is going to play out?
Certainly my confidence level, Darren, has continued to drop. Not to the point where I don't think we're going to have college football, because I think with that importance that you highlighted in what it means to the schools, all the other non-football sports that are supported and paid for by football and men's basketball, the economy in the areas that, like you mentioned in Tuscaloosa, that let's not forget they're already taking – with this pandemic, they've already taken financial hits. Now you're going to take the revenue generated typically away from them during football season. It's going to be devastating what results from it if we don't have it. That being said, I think they're going to find a way for it to happen. If it needs to happen in the spring, then they'll do it in the spring. There's obviously a lot more complications with that, including, I think you're going to see, you're mentioning stars choosing not to play in some of these sports that are returning. I think you're going to see, you would see a lot of college football stars not play their final year of eligibility in college football, because you're getting into the time where you're now preparing for all of those things that get you ready for the draft, and you're going to close to that. or during the times that you would normally get those things, you're now going to say, I'm going to play football here. I'm already a projected first round pick. What if I get hurt? Then I can't do anything else during that process to raise my draft stock. I think it would be a watered down version of college football, but it would still be college football. So it's just kind of, it's going to be incomplete regardless of how we do it. College football, I don't think, is going to be the same thing that we're used to seeing, whether it's now or in the spring.
Well, you're right. I think it would greatly affect the star power if they played the season in the spring and not in the fall, because I think a lot of guys would indeed say, you know what, I'm shutting it down. I'm just going to go on and go pro. I'm just going to start concentrating on the next chapter in my life. All right, we'll come back more with Vince Ferrara on the other side at Vince Sports on Twitter. It's free. Give him a follow. It's easy to do. He's with the Sports Animal, WNML, there in Knoxville. We'll talk more things about the Vols on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarlane, Willie Donick with the day off, talking to Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal, WNML, in Knoxville. And Vince, we know the Elite 11 finals, that took place, involves four-star quarterback recruit in 2021. Caden Salter advanced to the finals. He's somebody that I know Vols fans are excited about, but Trent Dilfer, of course, has a lot to do with Elite 11 and runs it. But Caden Salter showing out during the Elite 11 tournament.
Yeah, I think that's really neat for Tennessee, and obviously to have one of their quarterbacks, their one quarterback in the 2021 class representing them in that great annual event that Trent Dilfer is a centerpiece on. And, you know, it's obviously great for Caden Salter also. He's a guy that is a dual threat, but he's still one that has some developing to do. And I think what was exciting to a lot of people there, and I think Trent Dilfer even mentioned this in a couple of quotes that I saw, in where you would teach him something and he'd get it right after that. And he was willing to learn and be a sponge for info. And then he would execute things right after he was coached up and wanted to be coached up. And that, you know, for guys like Dilfer and coaches, when you have a kid with talent that wants to be coached and is ready to put in the work with ability, that coaches love that. So he's about a 6'2 QB, throws well on the run. There's probably some mechanics things that I didn't actually see it. His workouts at the Elite 11, just, you know, read up about it and heard what the reaction was. But I'd love to see him moving forward at the Elite 11 to see if he's done some things to, from a mechanic standpoint, even to tighten his delivery up a little bit. He had a little bit, I thought, on tape, a little bit of an elongated delivery, but he's so good with his feet, pocket presence, and escapability, and has a strong arm. So he beat out some really talented guys. That Elite 11 there in Nashville, as you guys probably know, was loaded with big-time SEC quarterback commits and other power programs represented there also. So he showed out well, and looking forward to seeing what he does in the finals later on.
What does it say, though, about the program that not only do you have this kid that we're sitting there talking about, but the other quarterbacks, Harrison Bailey, everybody's excited about him to see what he looks like as a freshman. But they're building this roster of high caliber quarterback recruits. And as we've seen in college football, I mean, you might get one or two years and then move on to the next guy. But how important is it that they're building up these recruits and bringing in these talented QBs to try and build their program around?
Well, the first thing to your question, Chase, that it says to me is that big-time recruits believe in this coaching staff, believe in the pedigree and player and quarterback development of a Jim Chaney, of running of a program of Jeremy Pruitt, and where the program is going. And I think it clearly they clearly needed the turnaround last year as a validation that things were going well. And, you know, there's a lot of trust in Jim Chaney. Remember, Jim Chaney was the OC at Georgia when Jake Fromm took him to the national championship. And he made the most of a freshman quarterback. And, you know, they have done such a nice job, I think, of in recruiting, taking the next step in difference-making players in positions that maybe hadn't been they hadn't been able to land the right guys. I'm sure they've tried, but the key positions, quarterback, defensive ends, those pass rushers, and offensive line. And those are areas where Tennessee, with the two freshman tackles last year, you mentioned Chase, the two quarterbacks, and Bailey, the freshman now, and Salter next year, all the several pass rushers and linebackers that they've got, and Dylan Brooks from Alabama, they've been coveting those kind of elite pass rushers. So I think that's the big thing. Ultra important that they're getting those kind of kids, but it's a validation of this coaching staff and the belief that people have in them to take the program to that next level and take their personal careers to the next level, because ultimately that's what the kids want to do. They want to play in the NFL.
I mentioned Harrison Bailey, and people are excited about him, but Jarrett Garantano is still – a part of the program, and as you've said for weeks, is going to get a look, obviously, to continue to be their starting quarterback. He's back working out with his summer quarterback coach. How important is that to, as he continues his development, to try and remain the guy?
Well, he was working out with him as quarterback coach, you know, another fine Paisan, and Tony Rasiopi, who is he's known. Garantano's a Jersey kid, so he's known Rasiopi for a long time. Who coaches up in New Jersey. And so they were working out together when the quarantine hit, and then Garantano had to take off and go to back with his family. So now things have improved. He was able to get some work in with him. And, you know, his quarterback coach shares video clips and highlights of what the guys that he's working with, what they're doing, what he's coaching them up in terms of technique and their execution. And, you know, in the video clips that I saw of Garantano, look good throwing the deep ball. And that's an area that he's utilized the jump ball a lot to some of his bigger receivers. But in terms of explosive playmakers, now Tennessee this year with some of the freshmen, they're going to have a little bit more speed on the perimeter. They, with Jennings and Callaway, they had the jump balls, they had the possession, some of the run after catch and just breaking tackles. But they've got some guys that can stretch the field. And if you can throw the deep ball, now you can make game-changing, explosive plays. And this offense has not done enough of that over the last few years. So I think the deep ball accuracy is something that's going to be important for Garantano, and something that his quarterback coach has told me this early this summer, it is his in-between throws and knowing the right velocity to throw those out and throwing those intermediate passes in stride accurate to where they can run after the catch and for him to throw with better anticipation. If he makes those improvements and they carry over onto the field, then he'll be better this year. And that's, I think, the best recipe for Tennessee team success is an improved, more consistent Jarrett Garantano.
As before we let you go, of course, I got to ask you about UFC 251 coming up this weekend, Fight Island. Mm-hmm. We finally get to see it. But the main event, of course, had to get changed. But Usman will take on Jorge Masvidal in the main event at UFC 251. What do you think about that coming together? I know a lot of UFC fans are excited about it.
Yeah, this is the UFC has been similar to tracking like the COVID news, right? Every day it's a new development. It's going forward. It's taking two steps back. It's just crazy. And so that, yeah, you go from that was the fight that was supposed to happen around this time and then got canceled. And then you got Burns in there instead of Masvidal, and then Masvidal wants more money and doesn't look like they're ever going to get matched up. And then Burns has to step out because of COVID, and they find a way to make it work with Masvidal. So there's a lot of animosity there. I'm excited about it, and I'm glad the UFC put it together. Hopefully there won't be a built-in excuse because it's a late replacement. If Masvidal's on weight and has been staying in shape, it'll be fun. I still like Usman in the fight, but I'm glad that this was the direction they went in as a replacement.
Has Dana given other sports kind of the blueprint? I know it's different from sport to sport, but he's shown now a couple of times what happens if somebody tests positive and they have to pull them out of a fight and trying to reschedule things. I know this was his main event, obviously, so it made it a little more difficult. But I feel like he has shown the blueprint of what you can do as you're hit with these obstacles with COVID.
Yeah, it's a great point, Chase, and they have not been devastated by the positive test. They've, even if it's a main event or high on the card, they've had to pull the fighter and everyone that was in contact with him in the camp and then have a replacement ready to go. And they have those replacements. They have those alternates. Uriah Faber has been in that role as well, where he made weight and was ready to go in case his teammate were waiting on a test for him and he would be ready to step in. So they do all those preparation things. I think the other sports have looked at the way the UFC has handled things. They haven't had a big outbreak where you have one fighter passing it on to a bunch of other people. So again, that hasn't devastated their cards or their sports. That's good. And that's something other sports can look at. The difference is there more individual sports as opposed to the team sports? So you can keep your separation with your camp from a lot of other camps, whereas if you're a football team or baseball team, basketball team, you're around a greater number of people at one time. Just from that standpoint, I would think it would be much more difficult. But, hey, if you're in the bubble and you're negative and you're constantly doing the work on the inside like the UFC does, then I do think there's a chance to handle it, not let it devastate you. But it's probably more difficult for those other team sports.
Vince, good stuff as always. Hope you had a good fourth. Hope you've enjoyed your time down in Tampa. Safe travels back, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
All right, you too. Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal. There in Knoxville. He's at Vince Sports on Twitter. Free and easy. Just give him a follow. He's always got good information out there. We'll come back. Chris Tomino in the final hour. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll go down to Atlanta and talk to him about the Braves situation. We'll get into a bunch of Atlanta stuff with him coming up at 1 o'clock. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. So a lot of leagues are trying to figure everything and get everybody to their bubble, and that's what's happening with the MLS, and certainly the NBA is trying to make their way also down to Orlando. And right now, as players and teams begin to gather, seeing a lot of positive tests. Nashville SC took a huge blow. By the way, they had several problems, just delayed flights and stuff that was going on last week. I don't know how much you guys talked about or knew about it, Chase, but they had their just issues just getting to Orlando. And then we would learn from The Athletic that they would have five players test top positive. They're expected to start down in Orlando and get things started against Chicago on Wednesday. And I don't know if that's happening or not. We don't know one way or the other, but haven't heard any new news on that front. And then LAFC, so Los Angeles and the MLS gets a huge blow because their MVP, Carlos Vela, has said he's not going with the team to Orlando. I guess his wife, from what I've seen, his wife is pregnant, and he has opted out. So there is a prime example of the league's best player. So that's a huge blow for Los Angeles, and their best player and maybe the league's best player is not going to return to play down in Orlando with the MLS's format, and so he's not going to Orlando. We're seeing a lot of baseball players come out. Nick Markakis has come out and told the Braves he is opting out. David Price over the weekend told the Dodgers he is opting out. Ian Desmond has opted out. Felix Hernandez has opted out. Wellington Castillo has told the Nationals he's opting out. A lot of guys on the fence. Buster Posey on the fence. Others on the fence, not sure. Although I did see where I think Christian Yelich said that he is going to play. I believe I saw that right. But I also saw over the weekend where Ryan Braun is considering just retiring. Did you see that?
Yeah. No, I've seen there are a lot of and I think you can make the same case with a Nick Markakis. I mean, like I said, he was on a 1-year deal with the Braves. He's towards the end in his career. I mean, could this be the end? I saw some of his quotes of talking about his kids and being away, you know, from his family for the last 11 years and playing baseball and just other things that are in you know, in more of a perspective for him. But I would not be surprised with any of this that's coming out. And this goes back to a conversation we've had for weeks of players weighing. And I know it's different with baseball. You pointed out earlier, and you're spot on, that it's different with baseball of how it might be perceived because of how their negotiations went to try and even get a season going. But now having players that are weighing their options and looking at their families and being human and deciding, hey, it's just not worth the risk for me and my family. So I think you're going to have even more names coming out to say that they're not playing and they're opting out, not just in baseball, but in other sports.
Well, remember, I say this, Chase, and I use baseball as the real example. They didn't agree on anything. Remember, this was very contentious back and forth that was very public, and both sides were given the business. Remember the ref for giving him the business by the public. The public has been giving the business to both sides, right? To the players and the owners, basically just getting hammered in the eye of the court of public appeal, and so a public opinion. And so the public has been shaming Major League Baseball. And so they didn't agree on anything. So they didn't stand up and shake hands and hug and say, hey, you know, all this is behind us now. That's not how it happened. The commissioner right. basically said, this is what you're doing. You're going to play 60 games. And so I think it's really naive to think that all these players, it's just for safety purposes. Now, I know Mike Trout.
Yep. I was going to ask you what you thought about his comments.
Yeah, there was a tweet from ESPN that Mike Trout and his wife are expecting their first child to be born next month and that he is concerned for his family's safety with MLB's return. And I'm just saying, Mike Trout makes a lot of money. He's set for life, okay? David Price is set for life. And I'm not saying that safety is not a concern or this is not a real issue. I get that. I'm saying I don't believe for a minute that in all cases, whether they're pondering, whether they're on the fence, it's just because of safety. I think there's a lot of guys that have made their dough and they're like, look, I don't need to come back for this crap for a 60-game season. I can sit out. We'll be just fine. Okay, we're not going to be clipping coupons. We're not going to have to do things on Groupon. Okay, we'll be just fine. And I'm not risking anything. And, oh, by the way, you know, forget the owners. Remember, they didn't agree on anything. This right. thing is still
there's
not.
Still bad blood.
Oh, there's still major bad blood. And so I do believe that is factoring in to some of the decisions. We'll never know. It'll never come out public. Maybe way down the road, maybe after retirement, and they're doing an interview with Bob Costas, and they're like, yeah, look, I'm going to be honest. Bob, you know, I just basically wanted to stick it to the owners. You know, I didn't want to come back for a 60-game season. Yeah, we were in a pandemic, and certainly safety was a huge concern with me and my family. But also, you know what? I wasn't going to come back and risk anything for those guys. Like, don't tell me that is not in play. Don't tell me that baseball players who are human beings are not thinking that.
Okay?
I'm telling you they are. And I'm not faulting them. I'm saying I'm just speaking as a human being, but another human being. That's how it works. They have feelings just like you, just like me, just like Marquise. They have feelings and opinions too. And I'm telling you, that is in the back of their mind. And some of them are going, yeah, I'm concerned about safety. There's no question about it. But you know what? I'm not coming back for those guys. Screw them. I'm going to stay home with my family. I don't need this. I can sit out 2020. I don't need a paycheck. We'll be just fine. I've made plenty of money. We're going to be just fine. We'll be able to keep the lights on. I'll be able to feed my family. We'll be just fine. So you know what? Forget them. I'm not coming back in 2020.
Well, and that's very, very true. But what's going to happen, at least in some cases, is if you have a player do the tell-all interview with Costas or whoever and they say those things, then who's going to end up being the bad guy? It's not going to be the owners. Your fans are going to look at the players and they're going to go, well, you guys just couldn't work out a deal and now you're just being selfish with your millions and millions of dollars while, you know, and rightfully so. You're going to have some fans that are going to reference what's going on in our country right now and a lot of people being out of work and, you know, why couldn't you just suck it up and go play and, you know, entertain us? You're definitely going to have that side of it. So, and you're going to have some that go, yeah, good for you. Stand up for what you believe in. So it's like everything else going on in our country. You're going to have mixed opinions on everything. But I certainly believe that there is a lot of that going on behind the scenes that it could be viewed as phony because of that, because they couldn't get a deal done, because of the negotiations and how contentious that they got and just ridiculous at times that they got where they didn't want to get something done. I do believe there are some players that are opting out just for family. I do believe that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hard to differentiate the two because how many times do we say this that, all right, fool me once, you get the benefit of the doubt, you're good, but we've seen this for years between the baseball players and the owners and just how they don't trust or like each other. And so it's very hard for a lot of people to then go, okay, I get it. If it's truly for family reasons, I have no issue with it. I'm fine. If it's an NHL player, NBA player, baseball, MLS, and that's your reasoning and that's legit, you know, the NHL saying we don't need a reason. If you opt out, cool, no harm, no foul. We'll see you next season. If that's the reason, fine. I'm good with that. You have that right to make that decision. But I also see your side of it and the players that are just wanting to stick it to the owners and opt out for that reason.
I'm just saying, look, I get both sides. I do. But this is what the players, this is what I've been saying for a good while. Because I think players, coaches, front offices, owners, they lose perspective because they're in a different world than 99% of the people who are listening to this radio show, okay? They live a different life, and I get that. And that they've earned that right. That's fine. I'm not saying that is a problem, but they lose sight of who buys tickets and who buys their merchandise and who follows them and who has their shirt on or their jersey or whatever of them. They're a huge fan of them. They lose sight of the people out there that have to work. And I'm just telling you, you're never going to get sympathy from anybody out there that, oh, by the way, you think anybody out there in the public, you go to Home Depot or you go to Lowe's or you go to any restaurant or you go to any grocery store or you go anywhere that, by the way, well, the medical profession, they get paid well. I'm talking about people that make hourly wages. You think they want to strap on a mask and go deal with the public every day for hourly wages during a global pandemic? You think they want to do that? You think that they get up every morning going, thank goodness I'm on the schedule today to work 8 hours. I am pumped.
There are a lot of people that wish they could opt out.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. And I get it. I'm not holding that against them. They've earned the right. They're professional athletes. They're very talented at what they do. People that own teams or front office people or coaches or managers, they've all earned those rights for big salaries and what they do. I'm saying you're not going to get sympathy from the public when you throw that out there, when you use safety. You have that right. But also the people that go to work every day because they have to, they don't want to go to work during this either. They don't want to deal with, you know, jerks out there like I saw that have no care in the world about what's going on right now. They don't care. They don't care about anybody around them. They don't practice social distancing. They don't wear a mask. They don't give a flip. They don't believe in it, whatever their reasoning is. But guess what? That person that makes $12 an hour, they got to deal with those people every day. You think they're excited about that? My answer would be no, they're not. They're not. Okay. And yes, we have had the luxury, and thanks to Cromwell Media, we've, as a group, everybody, our offices, there's nobody there. Everybody's working from home. And we're certainly appreciative of that. We are, because we get the luxury of working from home, that we don't have to deal with what we're talking about. But there are people that don't have that choice. A lot of people listening to this show don't have that choice. And they don't want to hear millionaires say, you know what, I'm not going back to work because I don't feel safe. You're just not going to win sympathy from them. And that's their right to say that. That's okay. But it's also their right for the people that listen, who are fans, who buy their tickets and help pay their salaries, their big salaries, and buy all their merchandise, that have to go to work and get paid hourly and deal with the public every single day in a global pandemic. It's also their right to say, well, that's great. You don't want to go to work. You know, I don't want to go to work either, but I have to, or I'm going to be homeless.
Right. And that's very true. And I mean, what you said about us, I mean, we've had, obviously Marquise has been somebody that's gone in and been running the ship for us, Ian Safar.
But he's in a Speedo with no shirt on. Nobody's around. Like, he's nobody knows. He could have a bathrobe on right now.
It's a green Speedo to you. Dare. Yeah,
we talked about this last week. He's put Kobe posters up everywhere.
Exactly.
I have, actually.
I was going to say, do you live there? Just be honest. It's okay. Nobody.
I mean.
Our bosses aren't listening.
I got to get a family portrait somewhere around here. Probably by the speaker I'm looking at right now. I'll probably get my family portrait up here. But other than that, my air mattress is in the other studio. So, yeah, I pretty much live here now.
I was going to say, you don't go home, right? You've just made that your home now, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Me and Ian, we go half on the groceries for the fridge in here. So, you know, yeah, we pretty much live here now.
You have the run of the place. Why would you go home? Just make it your, just turn it into your home. We're going to come in and we're going to see a futon and all kinds. We're like, what in the world is going on here? And then Marquise and Ian will be scurrying down the hall, clearing out refrigerators.
Pretty much.
They're back. We got to go. move.
Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, it makes total sense.
No, nobody is going to feel sorry. I get it. It's okay for professional athletes to be concerned. It's okay. But just understand, you're not going to get sympathy from most of the public. Your fans, they're not going to give you sympathy, especially the ones who have to go do this every day. They have to go to work. And oh, by the way, a lot of these people, you know, that we go get our stuff, we need them to be there to check out. That they have to do that. They're helping us. And yet they're putting themselves at risk every day that they go to work for an hourly wage. You see, you're just not going to get sympathy from them. Sorry.
Yeah. And I think there are some players that know that, and there are some that just are naive to it.
Yeah.
I believe that there are some that they look at it and they go, hey, I get it. I have been very fortunate to do what I do, and I play a game and make millions for it. So I understand if you're not going to understand where I'm coming from. And I think if you have players say that, and come out and speak that way, you probably will get a little bit more of an understanding. But at the same time, you're going to have some that either just don't care or don't see it that way, and they're just going to have to deal with what comes their way. But and it's hard. In this conversation, it's hard to separate the fact that, like, I'll use Nick Markakis as an example. He's a dad. Just like you're a dad, right? He's got a family to worry about, just like you have a family to worry about. The only difference is your paychecks are quite different.
Yeah.
And so I think that it has to be.
And he's earned that right. I don't begrudge him for that. He's earned that right. He's an elite baseball player. I am not.
Right. You're an elite travel ball coach.
I pitch for free.
Yes, and you don't want to get strikeouts. You want to get hits.
I'm there to serve up meatballs.
Right. So, but it is hard to differentiate. It is hard for some people to not look past the paycheck, because the paycheck does change how you view people. Where, you know, professional athletes, I mean, it's just that's a part of it. That's what you sign up for. You always hear that phrase, well, you knew what you signed up for. I think some do, and some get it, and some don't. and I can't help the ones that don't. But yeah. I mean, there are some that they just have to look at it that way and go, hey, I'm making this decision for my family, but you know, I understand if you're going to look at it. Well, I wish that I could make the decision for my family and stay home and not have to go to work, but
right.
It doesn't work that way.
And you're right. I'm certainly not trying to paint the picture that they all are like that. I'm not casting a net. I'm saying we know, we've talked about it so many times over the years, and I don't know how this happens, but coaches, players, front office people, owners, whatever, they lose perspective. They lose, you know, they're in their own little world, which is a different world than 98% to 99% of the public, right? And so they're out of touch with what's everyday life for most, right? For all the people who buy their tickets or buy their merchandise or do what, they just lose perspective. And I don't know how you get to that point. I'd like to try it. I mean, somebody needs to hand me a couple hundred million, and I'll see if I lose perspective or not. I would like to believe I wouldn't, but I don't know. You know, I don't know how I would react. I don't know, you know, rich and famous, you know, how – I get it. Their life and their world is different. But I really appreciate the ones who somehow find a way to always seem like – even if it's a little bit of it's phony – but they come off as they still have perspective of the other 98% to 99%, right, of how the rest of the world operates, or the country in this case, right? Like, I always appreciate right. those coaches or players who truly get it, who feel like they're talking at the same level as their fans. And then there's also others, like, I just wonder, like, what world are you in? Like, what? Where have you been? Like, what rock are you living under? What cave do you go home to every night that you think that way, or you don't think this way? Like, what? How do you not get this? Like, how could you possibly say something like that? You come off so tone deaf or what have you. Like, I don't know how certain people get to that point. Maybe it's because they've always grown up that way, right? I don't know their background. Maybe they just grew up in a wealthy household, and that's all they've known is upper class and a certain lifestyle, and they have no clue how the rest live. And so they don't understand that. So maybe that's their excuse, and that's fine. But, you know, I just got to understand that there's a lot of the public, a lot of your fans, that are going to say, well, you know, I wish I could opt out too. I wish I had the luxury to opt out. And so, yeah, it's a fine line, but you also have to respect, like you said, there are players that it is 100% about safety. It is 100% about an existing condition or a family member, or, you know, a wife who is pregnant and is about to give birth, and maybe it's their first child or what have you. And you have to respect those decisions as well, because you'd like to believe that they are difficult decisions to make.
Sure.
That, you know, that this was not taken lightly, that this was a real sit down and let's talk about this and figure out what's the best. Because I would say most athletes are wired, they don't want to leave their team behind, right? They're not, you know, most do not, they're about, you know, the team. They're all about the room. And so it's a tough decision. Even though you may have to make that decision to opt out, I would say most athletes, that is difficult to do, because they're all about their room. That is their family away from their family. And so it's got to be very difficult. But, you know, it's not easy. And we're about to find out who on the NHL side is going to be opting out too, because I have to believe here in the very, very, very near future, we're going to start hearing those names, right? Now that yep. the hub cities are finalized and all that, so everything is moving is fine at being finalized, that we're going to start hearing players, I can't imagine that nobody or just one player comes out and says, I'm not returning to play.
Yeah. My guess is it's going to be plural. Players will be here.
Right. I mean, there's no question. How could we rule that out and say that there's no way it won't happen here? I mean, that would be silly to say. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not with these guys and their families and what they've been discussing this whole time. So Yeah, it could absolutely happen here. All right, we will come back. We'll start the final hour with Chris Tomino. Down in Atlanta, we do that next on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.